Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 begins this way. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. The scripture this morning tells us the simple phrase. It's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we come to you right now and we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that was given as you left this earth and ascended to the Father's right hand. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this room right now. And we pray, Lord, that more than words, more than intellectual concepts, more than familiar things that we may have heard before, more even than the examples and illustrations, may we catch your heart today that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and teach us what that means, and help us to walk by the power and the anointing of your Spirit, and we will give thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Forgive my voice this morning, a little bit raspy here, but I am expecting some great things for 2016. Amen? And we are thankful for a year in which we can look ahead, and I have not mentioned it to you, I believe we have, but 2016 is also the address of Kingsway Christian Center, 2016 Kismet Parkway East. And so I don't know if there's anything there, but I'm saying, Lord, just have your way in this place, in this year, in this time, and let us be that place that you want us to be, where you're worshipped and exalted. Amen? Now, when I say we're expecting great things for 2016, we may have different things in mind. Some may think of great spiritual victories that we're going to see, and I believe that is true. Others may think of great restoration in relationships, and we pray for that. Others may think our circumstances may turn around, and we trust the Lord in all circumstances. Others may expect an abundance of a harvest of souls, and we are believing and praying because, church, that is still our primary mission, to go, therefore, and make disciples to reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen? And still others may expect God's provision and how he's going to multiply in our life. And we believe in a God who blesses and a God who favors his people. And so all of these things may be true, but may we never forget that the greatest blessing we have received is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Think about that for just a moment. Even the disciples, when they went out and they were working in the name of Jesus and they were casting out demons and they saw the power of God at work, even when rejoicing, coming back about those demons being subject to them in Jesus' name, they were still reminded by Jesus to rejoice, not that they had authority over the spirits, but that their names were written in heaven. And so we can rejoice today that our names are written in heaven, written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we know if we have trusted in Jesus Christ for our salvation, asked him to forgive us of our sin and to be the Lord of our life, we have the greatest joy ever. And like those disciples, we are commanded to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. And so this morning, one of the things that I am praying for 2016 is that we capture and elevate the sense of joy that we as believers can have. Amen? It's one of the symptoms, I believe, of a believer who is not just saved, not just sanctified, but living every day in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because joy is not an emotion. Joy is not an emotion. There are five basic emotions. They are happiness, sadness, fear, shame, and anger. Joy is not listed, and joy is not a part of happy, because even though you're sad, you can still have a joy from the Lord. Even though you may be angry about something, the Lord can come in with his joy and overtake that. No matter what, there is still a joy that is there. And so when Jesus says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven, And I'm going to tell you this morning, this was not in my notes. I feel an unction on this today to tell you that if you have nothing else for which you can give God praise, you put a smile on your face, you put your hands in the air, you give a shout to the Lord, because at the end of the day, you are still bought with a price, redeemed by the Savior, anointed to be able to walk into His presence by the throne room of grace. You have a calling to walk in the name of Jesus, and you are saved because of His great work. That in itself should bring us great joy. And so we can rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice and to trust in Him in all these things. But may we never forget that we've received that blessed gift. But another part of our salvation is the incredible dynamic that the Holy Spirit is then given to us, each believer, as Jesus promised to us. In John chapter 14, you may want to jot these scriptures down and look at them later, as we're going to just read through them and not have much commentary in each scripture. But John 14, verses 16 to 17 says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you, how long? Forever. So does the Holy Spirit decide one day, I'm done? No, the Holy Spirit is patient. The Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. As we put our faith and trust in the Lord, this is a promise. And it goes on, Jesus' own words, red letter edition here, says, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. I don't know if we fully comprehend what we just read. I don't know if we fully understand what it means that the Holy Spirit that created, that was hovering over the face of the waters, that moved upon the great prophets of old to pen the words of Scripture, that was there when miracles took place. I don't know if we understand that that Holy Spirit desires to abide with us and to even dwell within us. Something should resound in us that says, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in me because I put my faith in Jesus Christ, promise of Jesus. How incredible that we become then temples of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is where? That's right. About 40% of us got that this morning, so we're going to do it again. That your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is where? He is in you. Never forget that no matter where you go, you are never alone. No matter what dark alley you walk into, no matter what circumstances, no matter what valley of the shadow of death you face, no matter the sickness that comes, no matter the fight that is present, no matter the conflict that arises, no matter the opposition you face, you are never alone. The Holy Spirit is in you. And so how do we live and operate in this way? Whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We then become a conduit of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. He doesn't just dwell within us. There's another fascinating aspect of the Holy Spirit's work in our life, and it's found in Jesus' words again in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. He says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke this of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so anticipating the work that the Holy Spirit would do, these rivers of life flowing out of us because of what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and through us, he spoke this. But I want us to notice a very important word. If you're able to mark in your Bibles, I don't encourage you to use a highlighter on your iPad or iPhone if that's what you got today. But if you would make note of this, take a look at this. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. This promise is conditional. And like most of both the Old Testament and the New Testament, testament being the word which also means covenant, like the covenants that we have with God, they are conditional. And God will always fulfill his part, but he asks us to fulfill a part as well so that he can then fulfill that part. And there's an inherent promise with our fulfillment of what he asks. He said, if anyone is what? Thirsty. Some of you are going, that's just mean. Right now, if someone walked through this room selling water for a quarter, you might just buy some. Because I talked about thirst and I took a drink of water. But I would guarantee you, if you're walking in the hot sun around Disney or Busch Gardens or somewhere else, you'll not buy that water for a quarter. You'll spend $2 for that bottle of water. What's the matter with you? Do you realize that is more per gallon than gasoline? But the price we're willing to pay is not dependent upon the quality of the water, for it's the same in both situations. It is more dependent upon the thirst of the individual. The price we're willing to pay for the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life is not dependent upon who the Holy Spirit is, because He never changes. It is totally dependent upon how thirsty we really are for Him. How hungry we are for righteousness. How thirsty we are for His presence. How much we long for Him. This is the conditional piece of our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises, you can't have a thirst big enough that I can't satisfy. No matter how thirsty you are, the Holy Spirit will come and satisfy it. And so therefore we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 again, do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. I love the words of Smith Wigglesworth, who said this: the 12 told the rest to look out 7 men to look after the business end of things. They were to be men of honest report and filled with the Holy Ghost. They were just ordinary men who were chosen, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this infilling always lifts a man to a plane above the ordinary. It does not take a cultured or learned man to fill a position in God's church. What God requires is a yielded, consecrated, holy life. And He can make such a flame of fire baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. The multitude chose out 7 men to serve tables. They were doubtless faithful in their appointed tasks, but we see that God soon had a better choice for 2 of them. Philip was so full of the Holy Ghost that he could have a revival wherever God put him down. Man chose him to serve tables, but God chose him to win souls. Oh, if I could only stir you up to see that you are faithful in performing the humblest office, God can fill you with His Spirit and make you a chosen vessel for Himself and promote you to a place of mighty ministry in the salvation of souls and in the healing of the sick. There is nothing impossible to a man filled with the Holy Ghost. It is beyond all human comprehension. When you are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, God will wonderfully work wherever you go. And so my great desire, in line with those words, is that we as the people of God together, all of us in 2016, would be filled with the Holy Spirit. I long to see a people of God worshiping Him and lost in the presence of Almighty God, who loves us, who calls us to Himself and calls us to come into that place of worship. I long to sense His presence when we gather, that holy, tangible, Chabad presence of the Lord, that Shekinah glory of God that descends upon us because we're worshiping together. Without the Holy Spirit's presence, we only have a gathering of people. With the Holy Spirit, we have an encounter with the divine God. And that depends upon our hunger, church. It depends upon our longing. It depends upon with what we long to be satisfied. I long to see us encouraged as we worship together and minister to one another just by joining our voices, hearts, and spirits in the praise of our King. Note the words that follow that command, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Do you know you bless somebody else when you come and worship? When you stand and you sing and you worship, I don't know about you, but I've been through difficult and challenging times where I've walked into a church service. I've walked into a service and I've felt discouraged or frustrated or downtrodden. And I stand there and I know I need to worship. I know I need to lift my hands and begin to cry out to God. And then I look and I see someone who's worshiping and lost in the presence of God. And it encourages and inspires me just to lift my hands and begin to praise Him. I've also walked into dead churches. I've walked into places where the music was wonderful, where the words were true, where everything seemed like it should be a place where revival would break out, and yet there was just an apathy and a complacency that could not be moved or shaken. The difference is not the music. The difference is not the temperature. The difference is not the color of the carpet or the color of the background. The difference is the hunger of the people who long to seek after God. May we be a people who say, Lord, we want more than anything to be filled with your Spirit, to hunger and to thirst after you, and then to encourage one another in that. I long to see us purified with the presence of his Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit becomes our character. When the Holy Spirit comes into us, he works on character, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. We become more like Christ because of it. Galatians 5:22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I long to see us loving one another as well with the fullness of the Spirit. You know, the fullness of the Holy Spirit will help you love one another in a better way. There's something about the Holy Spirit working through us where we can learn to love one another. How wonderful if we could fully grasp the way in which the Holy Spirit will call us to love one another without suspicion, without gossip, without dissension, without busybodies poking their noses in situations, without following Matthew 18, without people drawing negative and critical conclusions of one another, without believing the worst, giving up on one another, or giving the lip service of love without the truth and the true love that is spoken of in Scripture. Without having to wonder if someone loves you because they stay distant and afar. Without having to wonder if love is truly there because it's on one day and off another. Without having to wonder if love is present. We walk into a body where love is present because we love one another. And out of that, we see that that love is patient. That love is kind. That love is not jealous. That love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly and does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account the wrong suffered. And as I read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, I am struck by the fact that we are first seeing Paul define love by what it is not. Isn't that interesting? And then he turns around and says, but this is what it is. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. I love that. If we love one another, when someone else has a victory, we're going to celebrate. Amen? When someone else finds that God is at work in their life and shares a testimony, we're going to jump and shout with them as if it were our own testimony. Love bears all things. That means sometimes things must be borne, things must be upheld, and we're willing to do that. Love believes all things. We have a faith and a trust and a confidence in the Lord, and we approach life from that attitude. Love hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. The enduring, hopeful, enduring quality of that love is there because we know that we have a love from Jesus that is just like that. Can we love others the way that Jesus loves us? That's the challenge. And can we allow that love to flow each and every day? That is a working of the Holy Spirit. Let me remind us all of this. None of us can love in that way out of our own human flesh, out of our own selves. We may love one another through the power of the Holy Spirit in that way, and He works mightily. Amen? I love the gifts of the Spirit for ministry to one another. How powerful to see Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 say, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And we look at that and we say, what a powerful dynamic that the Holy Spirit dwells in me. I become a conduit for the Holy Spirit. He works on my character as I become like Christ. He works on my love as I become like Christ's love. He works on the giftings that I can bless others with. All of this happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. I long to see us as a people so filled with the Holy Spirit that our witness then pours out of our meeting place into the marketplace and souls are saved. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. That's an incredible power, amen, to reach the world. I recently had a conference call with someone who is anticipating God to bless them in business in a tremendous, tremendous way. And through another friend, we were able to talk with this person, and they have actually calculated the cost of reaching every person in the world, and they believe it to be $7 trillion. And they are praying that God will give them $7 trillion through the new discovery in science and engineering that He has given, because they want to be able to use that to reach the world for Jesus Christ. That doesn't come by human longing. That comes by the Holy Spirit. Anybody in the room have $7 trillion? You can help with that right now, okay? But what about what you do have? What about $10? What about $5? What about your witness? What about your testimony? What about what God's been doing in your life that you can share with somebody? Every one of us has something to contribute for the salvation of the lost. Every one of us has something to give for the work of missions. Every one of us has a testimony to share for the work of the gospel in our circle of influence. And so God calls us to see that as the work of the Spirit. But we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the Greek word pleroo, and it means to fill to the brim, to the top, to the greatest possible capacity. It is a present tense and imperative mood, which means this. It is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. It is not, if you feel like it, you know, go ahead and be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a command to all believers. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It also means it is continuous action in this present moment. It's not a past action. It's not, well, one time I was filled, and I guess that's good enough, but rather to continually keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I hear amen this morning? Are you with me? So what happens when we're getting a little bit low? When we're tired, what should we do? What do we do when we're tired? You're stuck on the road, and all of a sudden you realize you have a flat tire. And I want you to pretend with me for just a moment, if you would, that this tire here is not a temporary out of my trunk, but it's the tire off the main wheel there. And you go out there and you say, you know what? I got one of these for my kid's football. I can maybe fill that up. You can be there a while. You say, well, you know what? I have a little foot pump. This foot pump was mine when I was a kid. Mom and my son and daughter used it to inflate things. You're still going to be a while. That's a little more effective. Or what if you have something else? What if you have one of these? Now, I think I would probably rather use one of these, don't you? So, I think you all know what's going to happen here. Nothing. Nothing is going to happen. There we go. So, we let that run for a little bit, and we hook this up, and we'll start to get a little air. Now, you have a choice when you want... That's noisy. You have a choice when you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can say, Lord, just give me enough to get through the day. Okay, Jesus, I need a little more. Okay, Lord, I need to pray right now a little bit more. Or you can say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna put on my worship music and I'm gonna go ahead and do that. Okay, Jesus, we're just pumping the Holy Spirit right now. Or you can tap in to incredible supply of the Holy Spirit that is full of power. Pneuma. The power of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Now, I have a bigger compressor than this. I didn't want a hernia and have to have prayer and all those sort of things, so I didn't put that in my trunk. I went to an oil change shop, and they have one the size of that piano that's sticking up there. Because they have a larger need for compressed air than what I have. My kids have this need for compressed air in their football or kickball. Our bike tires have this need. Our tire may work with this. Our tools need a bigger one, and bigger tools need an even bigger one. You know how big God's compressor is? Unlimited. Unlimited. We're over here in our own strength trying to go... God's saying, tap into my supply, will you? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what do we tend to do? Well, a couple of things. First of all, let's talk about this tire if it were low. Underinflated tires can cause several problems. This is a public service announcement for you. You go ahead and make the spiritual analogies. First of all, your mileage may vary. If you have an underinflated tire, you may find that you have lower fuel mileage. This is because the engine has to work harder because of the drag from an underinflated tire. Anybody ever have a little drag from an underinflated tire in your life? Ever have a little drag in your spirit because you're just not full of the Holy Spirit? You're full of self, you're full of problems, you're full of difficulties, you're full of other people. You just got all this drag on your life and you're working harder. And you go, why am I working so hard? Because we're trying to do in our own strength, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. You may experience some uneven tire wear. You may have uneven wear, stress on the sidewalls, may even change the color a little bit. And so sometimes we get a little worn here and a little worn there. Then we may experience, if we continue in such a manner, that friction on the sidewalls may actually cause an overflexing, heating up and discoloring the sidewalls. Not that Nicole knows anything about that, not to embarrass her. But thankfully, we were able to see that, and I think she shared that before, and saw this tire, and I got concerned, and we stopped because we were traveling together, and noticed the heat. As I felt the sidewall of that tire that was underinflated, I felt the heat that was there. And ever since that day, I will tell you that I check my tires more often. I don't know about you, but I sure check them a whole lot more. Because that heating up can actually cause a blowout. You're more likely to have a blowout because of underinflation. You know, we go through life and sometimes we have so much friction and so much heat and so much stress. And then one day we just blow up. The problem isn't the road. The problem isn't the tire. The problem is we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. We're trying in our own strength. We're trying in our own power. We're trying to do what we can. And so, how do we know that there's a problem? How can we tell when we're running on underinflated soles? Because of something called the tire pressure monitoring system. Anybody familiar with that? Raise your hand if you have a tire pressure monitoring system in your car. You do have a tire pressure monitoring system. In the old days, we used to call it this. Kick that tire and see how full it feels. The oldest TPMS is an idiot light that would come onto our car, and our van has this, and it says, boom, Your tires, I'm not going to tell you which one, are low. And so, you have to get out and check them all with the gauge then. But now I have another car that has a temperature tire pressure monitoring system, and it actually shows me the exact tire pressure of all four of my tires, and I can look at that and read that. You know what's interesting about that? I have to be moving in order to see where the pressure is. Is there a spiritual analogy there anywhere? And so we can tell. What are our symptoms of not being sufficiently filled with the Holy Spirit? Fatigue, emotional discouragement, anger, depression, fear, mental distraction, volitional impulsive actions, fractured and broken relationships, fleshly temptations that are easily followed, overheating, discoloration, and potential blowout of our spirit. So what should we do? We'll get there to what we should do, but first I want us to look at Ephesians 5:18. It says this, "Do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." It's interesting that there are three passages in the New Testament that use the phrase, "be filled with the Holy Spirit." When John the Baptist is prophesied over before he is even born, there's an interesting parallel to what we saw and what we read. Luke 1:13-15 says, "The angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb." So this is a very clear contrast. John will not drink wine or liquor, but will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, it says, "Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit." But this is not a message on whether it's right or wrong to drink. We're not going into that. This is another message for another time. Here's what this is about. Before you say, "Oh, good, I don't get drunk, this doesn't apply to me," and exclude yourself from this, we missed a little word when I read it just a few seconds ago. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. And the word dissipation is very important here. Dissipation does not mean only drunkenness, but it's a Greek word that means an abandoned, dissolute, morally wrong, subject to one's own lust, life. A life that has lived what we want to do, abandoned to what is morally right. It means profligacy, carelessly and foolishly wasting resources. It means prodigality, which is to carelessly and foolishly spend time and money on ourselves like the prodigal son did. Self-focused, wasting resources, going about life with the wrong focus. This is a message on how we sometimes fill our lives with the wrong thing, not with the pursuit and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, but rather we fill our lives with everything else. So the passage in Ephesians says that getting drunk is a waste of life, but how about filling our lives with an excess of other things while neglecting the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Church, we are too busy filling our lives with other things. It's kind of like trying to use Fix-A-Flat to compensate for the lack of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I happen to have a can of that. You won't believe it, I know. Large tire Fix-A-Flat. Non-flammable formula. New protective cap, as if the cap's a selling point. Anyway, so if you're going to have a flat on the road, you pull this out and you put this up, hook this up to your tire and you hit it and it brings it in and it has liquid in there that seals it up. And this is an emergency remedy response. But if you just have a low tire, you don't want to put Fix-A-Flat in. Oftentimes, our Fix-A-Flat, what we try to put in place of really taking care of the problem, entertainment, shopping, eating, drinking, friendships, social media, hobbies, careers, sports, family, friends, education. These things are not bad in and of themselves, but today I want to ask you, what is your Fix-A-Flat that you are using instead of the infilling of the Holy Spirit? What is your dissipation in life that has become excess while not allowing the Holy Spirit to become the focus of your hunger and your thirst and your desire? And so as we look at this, it's like this Fix-A-Flat meant to fix temporary things. But I did some reading on Fix-A-Flat. I know you won't believe that either, but I did a little reading on Fix-A-Flat, and I found out a couple of things about Fix-A-Flat. There are some problems with using this in your tire. Number one, tire repair with Fix-A-Flat is not permanent. In other words, if you use this, you need to go see a tire shop and get the tire replaced, because this is only temporary. So is everything I just read about what we fill our life with. Heaven and earth will fade away, but His word will endure forever. Secondly, it can cause uneven tire wear. The lopsidedness of this as it spins around your tire will cause an uneven wear, which can cause further problems down the road. And we all know that these things in our life that we substitute with cause that. It can damage your tire pressure monitoring system. That gunk gets in there, jams it up, you don't know if it's working right. And there is something that is broken in our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit when we allow the things of this world to get into our spirit. We're not as sensitive to the Lord. We're not as aware of what we need to do and get into his presence. And so that damage can come. It can also damage your tire rim. It is something that comes in and it hardens into a stiff, dry foam. It gets all over the rim. Cleaning it off is a very, very labor-intensive process. And so we are damaged at our core sometimes because it hardens around our heart. These things that we put our trust in harden around our heart, at which point nothing can be done except a complete cleansing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the last thing is that it can be corrosive. It can tear up that rim. It can tear up all sorts of things. It is a corrosive substance, and the corrosive effect of all that we chase will, in the end, compromise our integrity, our influence, and everything we're doing for the Lord. So how do we become filled with the Holy Spirit? We have the choice that we saw before, a hand pump, a compressor, trying to be filled, but we will fail. And so what we do is we look at this dynamic here of the Apostle Paul, who was first called Saul, in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 to 18, where he had been persecuting the church when Christ encountered him on the road to Damascus. In that incredible encounter, he was blinded. He heard the voice of the Lord say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul was trying to fill his life with fix-a-flat. He was trying to fill his life with a holy, righteous zeal, but it was misplaced because it neglected the things of the Lord. Saul did not understand who Jesus was. And in that moment, when he was taken to a house, Ananias was then sent to him. And this is what happened in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake.' So Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me to you so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" To regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. He regained his sight and he got up and was baptized." It is only in our complete surrender to the Lord that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we simply say, "Lord, have your way completely in my life." We do this at salvation and we receive the Holy Spirit. We do this as the Holy Spirit works in our life. When the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not just when we have all the Holy Spirit, but that's when he has all of us and we completely surrender to him. Now, we may have experienced those dynamics, or we may not have. Today, I want to give you an opportunity as we close this service in a few moments to receive the Holy Spirit by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And tonight, we are going to have an emphasis on the Holy Spirit during our night of worship, to come and hunger and thirst and seek his presence. If you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, come tonight and just allow that atmosphere of praise to be the atmosphere in which the Holy Spirit comes and makes himself real to you. But even if we have had both of those experiences, there are times where we try and substitute with fix-a-flat. We try and use something in our life to bolster and to boost that empty place in our life, and what we really need is to be more hungry and thirsty for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not just a command, it's an invitation. We leave dissipation behind. We look ahead with vision and revelation. If you want vision and revelation, note that when Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, the scales fell from his eyes and he could see clearly. Church, sometimes we just can't see clearly in our own lives. We don't see the circumstances the way they should be seen. We don't see the realities around us. We don't see the what is coming in our lives. We don't see how God wants to work. And when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to move in our life, the scales fall from our eyes. And we can see ever so clearly because the Lord begins to give us that vision. We're transformed by his power and our character. We're used by the Holy Spirit to overflow in love to one another in his gifts. And we allow the Holy Spirit to spill over from that river that is within. And so this morning, as the band comes back, I'd like to simply read these words of Smith Wigglesworth, who was one man who sought the infilling of the Holy Spirit on a regular basis and was used mightily of the Lord. He says this: "You people who are seeking the baptism are entering a place where you will have persecution. Your best friends will leave you, or those you may esteem your best friends. No good friend will ever leave you, but it is worthwhile. You enter into a realm of illumination or revelation by the power of the Holy Ghost. He reveals the preciousness and the power of the blood of Christ. I find by the revelation of the Spirit that there is not one thing in me that the blood of Jesus does not cleanse. I find that God sanctifies me by the blood and reveals that efficacy of the work by the Spirit. Stephen was just an ordinary man clothed with the divine. He was full of faith and power, and great wonders and miracles were wrought by him. Oh, this life in the Holy Ghost, this life of deep inward revelation, of transformation from one state to another, of growing in grace and in all knowledge and in the power of the Spirit, the life and the mind of Christ being renewed in you, and of constant revelation of the might of his power, it is the only kind of thing that will enable us to stand. They were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which Stephen spake. And so full of rage, they brought him to the council, and God filled his face with a ray of heaven's light. It is worth being filled with the Spirit, no matter what it costs. Let me read that again. It is worth being filled with the Spirit, no matter what it costs. Read the 7th chapter, the mighty prophetic utterance by this holy man. Without fear, he tells them, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. There are two ways of being affected at the heart. Here they gnashed their teeth and cast him out of the city and stoned him. On the day of Pentecost, when they were pricked at the heart, they cried out, "What shall we do?" They took the opposite way. The devil, if he can have his way, will cause you to commit murder. If Jesus has his way, you will repent. And Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Oh, this being full of the Holy Ghost, how much it means. I was riding for 60 miles one summer day, and as I looked up in the heavens, I had an open vision of Jesus all the way. It takes the Holy Ghost to give this. Stephen cried out, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." As he was full of the Spirit, he was full of love. And he manifested the very same compassion for his enemies that Jesus did at Calvary. This being filled with the Holy Ghost means much in every way. It means constant filling, quickening, and a new life continually. Oh, it's lovely. We have a wonderful gospel and a great Savior. If you will but be filled with the Holy Ghost, you will have a constant spring within. Yea, as your faith centers in the Lord Jesus, from within you shall flow rivers of living water. We sang a song earlier that said, "The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in me, lives in me." That power the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:10-15 says, "If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." This morning, I want to ask you to stand, if you would please, as a congregation. And if you long to have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you because you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you're willing to say, "Lord, forgive me of all of my sin. Be the Lord of my life. Have your way in my life. I repent and I turn towards you and I seek after you." If that's you this morning and you want to ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior and Lord and receive not only his forgiveness, but to receive the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to ask you to come up and stand on my left. Randy, come if you would, please. Stand here. He'll meet you here. Randy will meet you and pray with you and share with you and introduce you to the love of Christ that is so compelling, so drawing, so inviting. Church, I want to also invite you to listen to the rest of this passage of Scripture. "So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Precious Father, term of endearment, Daddy, Abba, Father. Jesus freely offers this same Spirit to us. Again, I'll close with this scripture, John chapter 7, verse 37, Jesus' words. "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Speaking this of the Spirit. This morning, I want you to ask the Lord the question. Lord, am I using fix-a-flat when I really should be seeking you? When I really should be saying, "Lord, I want to connect to you and be filled." No matter what the pressure, just like a submarine going deeper and deeper in the water, that submarine can go as deep as the pressure gives because it has internal pressure that counteracts that. No matter what you face in life, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life can be power and life and overflowing. But we can't substitute. I want you to say, "Lord, do I need to repent of filling my life with other things as a substitute for seeking after you?" And the second question is, "Lord, am I hungry? Am I really hungry for you? Do I thirst for you?" Because the price you pay doesn't depend on the quality of the water. It depends on the thirst of the individual. I'd like you to come to this altar. I invite you to come and seek the Lord for those two questions. Lord, do I have some fix-a-flat I need to get rid of? Lord, do I have a thirst that needs to rise up so that I'm hungry and thirsty for you? And just come around these altars and spend some time communing with the Lord as we sing this song, "The Same Power That Raised Christ from the Dead lives in you, lives in us.